Welcome to an all-new episode of SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms and, of course, YouTube. Be sure to subscribe if you are on the YouTube channel. We have a great show for you today, a jam-packed show. Of course, we're going to recap the SJHL showcase and a whole lot more, as well as we have not just one guest. We have two guests today on SJHL Weekly. We'll be joined by Ronan Buckberger of the Nipawin Hawks and Ethan Farrow of the Yorkton Terrier. So lots to get into today on SJHL Weekly, which of course is always presented by our good friends at UPL. But a big thank you to all of our great sponsors at the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League: Borgo, Cantera Seeds, Capital Automall, Chevrolet, Great Western Nutrient, RBC, Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, SAS Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, UPL, SASK Energy, SGEU, SGI. Thanks so much for your support. Without your support, these shows would not be possible. Let's bring in our co-host. We'll start with, to my left, Jamie Neugebauer, and of course, virtually today, our good friend Rory McGoran. We'll start with Noogsy. Noogsy, you have a good weekend. Did you get some rest, at least, from the SJHL Showcase?
Not a ton of rest. Saturday, Sunday games to call at the dunk tank, but again, nothing. Where else would I rather be than calling hockey? So it was terrific, and it was terrific to spend the week with you, Jeremy, and Rory, and Jacob over there, and Kyle McIntyre. Everybody was terrific at the showcase.
And Rory had a busy week at the SJHL Showcase, calling lots of games, of course, on Flow Hockey, and then you had those big two games up at the Whitney Forum, Rory, and now you get you got some home time as well.
Yeah, really quick with the home time. Two great games in Flin Flon. Obviously made the drive back to Winnipeg to watch the Grey Cup, which did not go in our favor. But, you know, we all work in sports, and the Bombers were one play away from winning it for the third time in 4 years. But that's just the way it goes sometimes. But, you know, yeah, I get to see some of my brothers, and then I'm taking Mom back with me to Humboldt. It's family weekend next weekend in Humboldt, So Mom's coming up for the trip, and that should be a fun time as well.
Should be a fun time, and we have lots to get into on SJHL Weekly this week. Now, before we recap the weekend that was, this is actually our first show, whether it be SJHL Weekly or SJHL Insider, since the 2023 SJHL Showcase, and we should touch on the Showcase event. Of course, it was Monday through Thursday of last week, but I guess I'll start with you, Noogsy. When it comes to the SJHL Showcase, obviously a four-day event, what stood out for you and what players stood out for you potentially?
Yeah, lots of parity. Obviously, we kind of expected that, especially the Wednesday was just incredible games, right. A lot of fun. You know, in terms of one player that really jumped off the page to me, and again, it wasn't a huge points thing, but Austin Achovy of the Kindersley Clippers, wow, what a player they have. 05 birth year defenseman, really rushes the puck well, very responsible in his own end. I think there's a lot of gems in Kindersley that they've kind of unearthed. I hadn't really seen Kanan Ingram up close and personal. Yeah. And boy, is he a beast. And we'll talk about him in a second here. But for me, Austin Achovy was the one that jumped out. But just so much speed and skill in this league. It was a terrific, terrific week.
Well, and that's the best part about the SJHL Showcase as an event, yeah, especially for us as, you know, media members. We get a chance to actually see all 12 teams, that some of them we've seen in person, some of them we haven't. Rory, for you, what stood out?
I think the most impressive thing was the fact that you had 7 full-size booster juices in 3 days.
Thank
there.
You. You know what? I appreciate that.
Well, that's all we need to talk about that. So let's move on. Go ahead, Rory.
Yeah, you know, obviously the event as a whole was so well run, and there's so many unsung heroes, all the volunteers and arena people and everyone that, you know, gets it flowing. You know, there's no delays in games. Absolutely. It was some great hockey, a fantastic event in Warman. And if I was singling out a player that really stood out to me that I didn't have a chance to take in as much as I would have liked, it's back on the blue line as well. But for the Yorkton Terriers, Anthony McIntosh, I got to call both Yorkton Terriers games. They were later in the week, so obviously a little bit more fresh in my head. But he isn't the biggest guy, but a really good skater. He was laying the body on the line, blocking shots, 2 points in that final game. And I really liked what I saw off Anthony McIntosh. So he was one that kind of opened my eyes a bit.
Yeah, a lot of great performances at the SJHL Showcase. And just to echo what Rory said, you know, a big shout out to all the volunteers we had help put on the event. Of course, all the great sponsors of the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, Jacob Faith, Kyle McIntyre. The list goes on and on because it was another great SJHL Showcase. I also want to give a shout out actually to all the volunteers that were working in the penalty box throughout the 4-day event, because it was cold in the Legends Center in Warman, and I could only imagine how cold it was down at ice level for them. But regardless, Big shout out to everybody for putting on a great, successful 2023 SJHL showcase. Okay, let's recap the weekend that was here in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. No days off for the SJHL. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there was action. Let's start with Friday. Weyburn bouncing back with a 6-5 win over the Kindersley Clippers. Flin Flon knocking off the Humboldt Broncos 5-1. Battleford's with a 5-4 overtime victory over the LaRonge Ice Wolves, and then Nipwin getting back in the win column as well, a 2-1 win over the Melfort Mustangs. Then on Saturday, five games on total, a wild one in Melville. So the Millionaires earn an 8-6 win over the Estevan Bruins. The Flin Flon Bombers completing the weekend sweep of the Humboldt Broncos, winning 5-2. Battleford's wins their 10th straight, 4-3 over LaRonge. Melfort 8-5 over Yorkton. And Notre Dame 5-4 over Kindersley in a shootout. And then finally, yesterday, Kindersley would get a little bit of revenge with a 5-3 victory over the Notre Dame Hounds. And of course, all of our lookbacks this season are presented by our good friends at Sask Lotteries. Let's start, Noogsy, with the busiest team this past week in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Of course, all the teams were busy this past week, but Kindersley was the busiest. Five games in 6 days. And they managed to get 7 out of a possible 10 points. And the two games that they ended up losing were both one-goal losses. They had a great week.
They had a great week. You said it, 7 out of 10 points. They trailed in every game of those five except for one. And that was at the showcase in LaRonge as well. So they rallied. None of them at the West Central Events Center, I also should add. So they played two in a row at the showcase day off and then 3-3 this weekend. And then the last two at the Duncan McNeil Arena in Wilcox, which is international ice size, if you didn't know that as well. And I had a really interesting chat with Clayton Jardine before the second game of the series, and he said, you know, it took the guys some time to adjust, to get used to the big ice again. And I think the Hounds showed that, you know, it took the Clippers some time because the Hounds kind of dominated the first period of that first game of the two-game set, and then the Clippers kind of figured things out and really started to take advantage of some little plays that Clayton Jardine was, you know, very, very astute to put together for them. And man, oh man, you know, and I also said if Logan Linklater played for the Hounds and played at the Duncan McNeil Arena a lot, he would have about 1 million points because nobody can touch that kid at the best of times, put him on international ice. But yeah, I mean, kudos to the Clippers. They were clearly tired, but they competed. The Hounds, tired too, a little bit of a flu bug going through. So, you know, it was kind of not the coach's dream of a hockey series, two games that were very similar. Could have gone either way, both times you talked about there, Jeremy, too. A bunch of one-goal games for the Clippers. Obviously, they fell in overtime to Weyburn, or in the third period to Weyburn on a power play goal on a five-minute power play that the Wings had there in the third period after the hit by Cam Perlinger. And Kobe Perlinger, by the way, 4 goals in 4 games, with 2 of those without his brother. So, you know, talk about 07's not standing out as any kind of negative. Boy, are they good as young players for that Kindersley team. And man, oh man, it's just frustrating, I guess, a bit from a Notre Dame perspective. You know, Tylan Hilbig on the power play over and over again, lining up at the left point, sneaks in down the weak side, no recognition from the Hounds, clean face-off win, and Clippers scored 2 goals, could have scored more on that exact same sort of set play. And I got quite the compliment from Ryan Gibson, the assistant GM of the Kindersley Clippers, who said, you said it right before they scored, that that's what they were doing all day, and then it exactly thing happened. And then Tylan Hilbig had a tap into the side of the net. But anyways, the Hounds coaching staff are better, way better coaches than I am, so I'm not chirping anybody on purpose. But my point is, Clippers very well coached. Clayton Jardine is getting through to these guys. I think that's a big piece of it. They inherited some good kids who wanted to win, and kudos to the Clippers for finding a way to get 3 or 4 points from this back-to-back in Wilcox this weekend, because again, it's not an easy place to go.
Rory, your thoughts on Kindersley?
Yeah, first and foremost, take a bow, because, I mean, 5 games in 6 days is almost borderline unsafe, right? The amount of hockey they played, and they came out with 7 out of 10 possible points. They have points in 8 of their last 10 games, and they're back in a playoff spot, and won the last game of that 5 game in 6 days stretch. So it was incredibly busy, but incredibly impressive. I love how they're turning it around. You look at that top line, Logan Linklater, a 9-game point streak with 14 points. Ingram on a 5-game point streak with 9 points. Hilbig on a 3-game point streak with 6 points. And now they maybe definitely get a breathing room in terms of not playing as much. But they've had one of the most difficult opening 20 game schedules out of anyone in the league. Six of their next eight games are against teams below the playoff line right now. So Kindersley can keep it going and get a little breathing room above that eighth playoff spot line.
And do you know what? It's amazing because obviously this has been such a busy stretch for them, but they're 6-2-1-1 in their past 10 games, and there's only two teams better than them in the past 10 games, and those are going to be the next two teams we're actually going to talk about. So let's move forward into, of course, that big two games, Rory, up at the Whitney Forum between the Flin Flon Bombers and the Humboldt Broncos. There was obviously a lot of attention on this pair of games up there. Obviously, the Flin Flon Bombers earned both victories, but two very tight games at the Whitney Forum.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the score, and if that's all you look at, they weren't 5-1 and 5-2 hockey games. Agreed. These are the type of games that are going to make both teams better coming out of them, regardless who wins and who loses. I'm sure the Broncos wanted to pick up some points and knock off, you know, the top team in the country, but they didn't. And when you look at the underlying numbers, Humboldt actually had a higher expected goals for in both games. In game one, it was 4.89 to 3.69. They had 94 shot attempts and 50 on net. And you know what it was? Flin Flon capitalized on their chances. Humboldt didn't. So give credit to Laser Hume, guys like Justin Lees. You know, they were burying it. When you give them inches, they're going to take a mile. And that's kind of how the game went. But what a hockey game. And, you know, props to the Flin Flon Bombers. They're as good as any team. I will put them right up there with the North Stars of last year and the Bruins the year before. The Bombers are right there. They are for real.
Yeah, no question about it. Very similar sounding things to what you're seeing to the playoff series between Flin Flon and Humboldt a year ago. Just kind of Flin Flon burying.
It just seemed Humboldt. To can't find a way. Yeah.
On Laser Hume, you know, you talk to Scott Barney and you say, hey, what do you think of Harmon Laser Hume? I mean, you know, some people love him, some people don't. Every time I've watched him, he's been real solid for Flin Flon. And if you ask anybody involved with the Humboldt Broncos organization, you're going to get an answer as well that say, well, we can't score on him. So, you know, kudos to Harmon Laser Hume. He brings it when it matters. That's the most important thing. Kudos to the Humboldt Broncos penalty kill. The Flin Flon Bombers were 6-for-16 on the power play at the showcase against Estevan and Weyburn. Obviously, Jason Tatarnik can coach a penalty kill, and the Flin Flon Bombers put up a number on the power play at the showcase against them, and the Broncos only, I think, gave up one power play goal over the weekend. And obviously Scott Barney can coach a penalty kill too, so, you know, no surprise. But that Flin Flon power play, 24% right now, they are cooking. They still don't even have Riley Niven in the lineup just yet. They're still waiting for the former Moose Jaw Warrior to get healthy, as if they needed more weapons, which they don't. But man, oh man, they are a juggernaut, Rory. And sorry, folks, like, at least the forward core is better than that Estevan and Battleford's team from last year overall. We'll see about the rest of it, but this is the best forward core I've seen since I've been in the SJ back in, you know, I've been here since 2017. This is the best forward core I've seen since then anyways.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, because of how well the Flin Flon Bombers are playing, once again, they were named the top team in the CJHL for a fourth straight week in the top 20 rankings. Of course, the Humboldt Broncos are still in the rankings as well, ranked at 14th. And a third SJHL team is now in the top 20, and that's our next team we're going to talk about, and that's the Battleford's North Stars. Of course, we talked about them getting Justin Merrick back, Newsy. We talked about them getting Kian Bell back, and all of a sudden, this Battleford's North Stars team is rolling. They've won 10 straight games.
Yeah, 10 straight. They win them pretty. They win them ugly. Doesn't matter. I mean, we've all been up to the Mel Hoglan Uniplex. And it is, you know, never know what's going to happen when you go up there. And so two wild one-goal games. Once again, you know, in the first game, Rain Hodge ties it up real late for LaRange. And again, he's a guy that I've liked all year long. Obviously, he's on my fantasy team. Real skilled guy. And, you know, he was kind of down the lineup in LaRange for a little bit. But it seems like he's kind of reignited something for the Ice Wolves. And they, you know, pushed as really, really well against Battleford's in these two games. They were really, really even games that could have gone either way. But, the end of the day, like, it could be a grit grind, could be a flying wide open game. You know, you talk about the ability of the Humboldts and the Flin Flons in this league, Jeremy, to win any type of way. This Battleford's team has shown that they can win any type of way. And, you know, you have Tanner Gold, the defenseman, scoring 23 seconds into overtime. Like, he's confident as all get out right now. And, you know, we all talked to Braden Klamosko at different points during the showcase, and he said, you know, something about bringing Kian Bell in and always so honest, Braden Klimosko. You know, something about bringing Kian Bell in. Talked to you on your radio broadcast, in fact. It was a really good interview. He talked about, you know, just everybody said, you know, before, you know, we all wanted to be the guy, but we didn't know what that comes with. Kian Bell comes in, he is the guy, and now everybody can kind of fall into their slots, into their roles, and they just find a way to win. One goal games like these two against L'Orange, you know, blowouts like we're going to see and we have seen. 10 in a row, there's something going on in Battlefords, and they're no fun to play against right now.
And to win 3-3 as well, because they obviously won the last game against the Weyburn Red Wings at the SJHL Showcase, then went straight to L'Orange to win two games up at the Mel. I guess, Rory, just get your thoughts on the Stars and their turnaround, because at one point, obviously, this is a team we were talking about that we were trying to see, you know, I mean, you had mentioned it, what was their identity going to be? They were 500 just, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and now all of a sudden they're winners of 10 straight, and, you know, they're in the mix right at the top of the standings.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a championship layover, right? That just took a little bit to get the wheels turning. But yeah, I looked at them and just losing, 450 points from their roster, from their top four or five players. I just didn't know what their identity would be and how they would recreate that. But they're very, very quickly starting to remind me of the Battlefords North Stars of last year now, over the last 10 games. Nugsy, when you look at the kind of the facts here, when leading after the first period, 8-0 undefeated. When leading after the second period, 12-0 undefeated. When scoring the first goal, 11-1. Does that remind you of Battlefords of last year? Once they get going, if they have good starts, they're tough to beat.
They're tough to beat. You said, how are they going to recreate 450 points? Well, they brought about 300 of them back with Kian Bell, so that's good.
That's right.
That doesn't hurt either. But, I mean, it's the same recipe. Yeah, like we talked about Kesslering, and we talked about Dole, and we talked about Bell. We talked about Southgate all over and over again last year, and fair enough. Like, those guys are phenomenal. But like you talk about to Braden Klimosko, and yeah, those guys get their due, but it's the decor. Like, he talks about his decor. Yeah. Like, we didn't talk about the Battlefords decor enough last year. You know, Tynan Ewert, terrific, but Gold and Isaac and Olsen now and Carmen, like, these guys are fitting in exactly to what Braden Klimosko wants. And you know what? The Battlefords North Stars have traded away kids that are pretty good players. They've cut kids this year that are pretty good players. Why? Because they just don't fit. That's the way the Battlefords North Stars build their teams. When you're a championship team, when you finish second in the Centennial Cup, you're going to get some good players and good agents being like, I got kids for you, Braden, or Wiley Riendo, or whoever. Like, that's going to happen. But they've said, sorry, you can't play here. You don't skate well enough. Like, sorry, we'd love to have you. But that's what the way that you've gone when you have a system and the success that the Battlefords North Stars have had. They've got kids buying in. You know, they got Olsen, who obviously is better than everybody has thought. Yep. UMass Lowell commit now. Isaac has taken another big step forward. He was dominant at the showcase. Boy, did he look terrific. He was pulling the strings. You know, a bit Tanner Gold was great in L'Orange. They just find another hero every night.
For sure, and obviously Balfour's winners of 10 straight. They'll look to try and make it 11 straight when they visit the Melfort Mustangs on Wednesday. Rory, let's move on. Speaking of Melfort, they get back in the win column against Yorkton in another wild game Saturday, winning 8-5 over the Yorkton Terriers, snapping the Terriers' four-game winning streak. They got on a bit of a roll, but of course Melfort, for them, it's been up and down as of late, but good to see them get back in the win column and a big 2 points.
Yeah, that 60-minute stretch perfectly depicted what the season has been for the Melfort Mustangs, right? Losing to Yorkton again, it's like, well, they're not showing up. And then all of a sudden, they're the best team in the SJHL with 5 straight goals, 1 in the second and 4 in the third. So I don't understand what's happening with them and why these performances are not more consistent. They haven't won back-to-back games since October 18th and October 20th. It's been a month now that they have been win, loss, loss, win, loss, win, loss. It's not a small sample size anymore. That's a month worth of games where they haven't stretched together 2 wins in a row. When they're on, they are one of the best teams in the SJHL. No one can argue that. It's just not consistent. And on a positive note, Ryan Duguay, call him DeGuy, and he has been DeGuy for the Melfort Mustangs, man. Leads the league in goals, leads the league in points, 9 power play goals, leads in that too. He is just so good, and we don't give him enough credit on this show.
No, we don't. And there was some health issues. There have been health issues with Zach Summers and Aiden Hutchinson this year too, which is big. Another guy who stepped in, you know, to that void with Ryan Duguay is Mr. Coyle. I mean, David Coyle, 7 points in a game against Yorkton there.
Not real.
Like, unbelievable. And you know what? Like, we're going to talk to Mr. Ethan Farrell. May not want to mention his name to that guy because, you know, David Coyle's had a day. But there's a kid that, you know, didn't really have the role that he wanted with Trevor Blevins, went away, went to the BC Junior B and got better, got bigger, got stronger. You know, he was always a good skater, but he did what he needed to do, Jeremy, to get into Blevins' system and figure things out and just be a little bit patient. That's what coaches are always saying.
Right.
And David Coyle did it. 5 goals, you know, just absolutely terrific. You know, he's such a good player. And again, talk about Duguay, the guy who leads the league in points, by the way. Can't say more than that. Don't talk about Coyle enough, but yeah. I don't understand Melfort's up and down, Rory. You know, mm-hmm. we called the Melfort Yorkton game. I think you and I call, or Nick and I, was it you
no,
and
it
I?
Was you, me and you.
Me and you. Yeah, sorry, yeah, my memory is all over the map.
I don't blame you.
Melfort Notre Dame in the morning.
We got the showcase hangover.
Just how they all blown together. But Melfort looked like a team that could win the championship that day. So who knows? And I'm sure Trevor Blevins is asking the same question right now.
And just quickly, guys, let's quickly touch on Melville Estevan from Saturday night. Another wild game, 8-6 for the Melville Millionaires. But, of course, Melville snapped that lengthy losing skid at the SJHL Showcase with that comeback win over Humboldt. And then they snap a 4-game losing skid against Estevan, a team that had their number a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Tatarnik dealing with some suspensions and some injuries and stuff now, too. So it's hard to say, you know, how much that played in the last little while with the Estevan Bruins. Jason Tatarnik, I don't know if coaches were starting to do the whole Patrick Waugh thing where you pull the goalie, you know, with 20 minutes left in the game, 15 minutes left in the game, maybe in the second period. But, you know, it works a lot for Jason Tatarnik's teams. I mean, he was weighed. They were down, what, 6-1 or 5-1 or something like that against Melville there at the in that game, and power play goal going in. It was just crazy back and forth, and Melville ended up holding on to win there 8-6. But you know what, hey, Jason Tatarnik's teams, we you know, it's up and down and up and down, and we think they're great, and then they have a tough week, and then we think they're terrible, and then we have a great week. And they, I'm sure, again, same like Trevor Blevins, just Tatarnik's probably asking Drew Kosher and his staff, like, how do we be consistent, and probably staying healthy and not suspended is a big piece of it.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll see if Estevan can bounce back for that afternoon game on Wednesday between the Bruins and the Notre Dame Hounds. But let's put a bow on the week that was in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League with the Tourism Saskatchewan highlight of the week. And this one comes from the SJHL Showcase. It's a pretty one. Mm-hmm. Have a look.
Self, but Connor Miller will step away. Nice move by Miller. Beautiful pass. Beautiful finish. What a goal. Maddox Amaral makes it 2-2 on an absolutely highlight reel. Beauty by the Humboldt Broncos.
That was disgusting. Oh my, Connor Miller.
Rory, Connor Miller, obviously a player you've seen play quite often with the Humboldt Broncos. Can't say you're probably surprised seeing a move like that, hey?
No, not surprised. I'm surprised it took this long, you know. And I think Connor I think Connor didn't like his first, you know, 15 games. He wanted more out of himself.
Sure.
And he's really putting it together. His last 5-6 games, he's been one of the best players on the ice. Been really impressed with him. But, you know, the players, they're their own worst critics when they know it's not going as productive or as good as they want it to be, right? So Connor's found that groove 100%. And yeah, I'm not surprised that happened. That was a heck of a goal and heck of a call by Noogsy too. That one got everyone out of their seats.
I know. Right away, I came over to the booth in the first intermission. I said, Noogsy, that was a heck of a call. Great job, Noogsy.
Thank you. And also Nikki Nielsen with the great follow-up too. But yeah, thanks very much, guys.
You're most welcome. And before we go to break, we're actually going to bump up your segment. So it's everyone's favorite segment. Let's go right to it. It's time for Nukes and Notes. Nukesy, take it away.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. I'll try to make it quick here because we got these guests. I don't want them to keep them waiting. But I just thought I'd throw it back to the first showcase like we have it now. Just a little bit of a history lesson for everybody out there. It was in 2015. It kicked off on October the 4th, 2015, with a 4-1 win by Estevan over LaRange. And it ended on October 7th with a 5-2 win over for Melford over Kindersley. So we've had it like we have now since 2015.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
I called that game.
The Estevan LaRange one.
I did.
There you go, because you were Estevan. There you go. He called that one, and it was a win for Estevan. Though the 2 years before that, they actually had a little all-star event, which was they had, I guess, young guns and, mm-hmm. and vets, sort of an all-star event for 2 years, and I guess people didn't love it. So, you know, they have the SJMJ showcase now, which I think is terrific, and it's always been great hockey, not like an all-star kind of boring thing. It's been awesome every year, and I think that's coming in late January and early February in Winnipeg. And we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in the weeks to come. But anyway, so there's some showcase history for you. It was announced on social media. I saw it. I'll give Benny Walchuk, the voice of the Melville Millionaires, credit. The Melville Millionaires and Melville, the city of Melville, has announced that their arena is now called the CN Community Center. It was called the Horizon Credit Union Center. It's now called the CN Community Center. So the Canadian National Railway, of course, the tracks are just across the street from their beautiful facility that they have there. And yeah, great, great spacious press boxes. Love that rink. And then my last one, again, Jacob Faith's favorite segment, though Jacob's now gone, is the shout out of sponsor, the Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association. It's a nonprofit organization funded by the construction industry itself to inform and provide cost-effective quality safety training for their business services throughout the province. It was established in 95, and their president, Colin Puller, is a beauty and does a lot with the SJ and made those sweet videos with the Weyburn Red Wings, especially giving Dazza Mitchell a big hug on the ice. That was pretty cool. And my boy, Nikki Sombrowski, who's doing great things down in D3 right now, was in that video as well. And also, Sask Finest last week. Make sure you check it out. Kyle Adamson, the governor of the Kindersley Clippers, who's a great dude. And this week coming up, I'll just tell you, it's Brad Howard.
thought you were going to tease
The head of the referees in the SJHL. And he's going to have to leave a lot of quotes on the table because Brad is terrific to be talk to. So I've really enjoyed the Sask Finest writing them. Hope you guys have enjoyed reading them. Really appreciate any kind of feedback you guys have given me. And that is this week's Nugs and Notes.
And that edition of SAS Finest will be up on sjhl.ca noon on Wednesday. Let's take a pause. When we come back, we'll be joined by Nipawin Hawks defenseman Ronan Buckberger, get his thoughts on the season, the SJHL showcase, and much, much more. This is SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms.
This episode of SJHL Weekly is presented by SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.
Welcome back to SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you may be watching from today. It's Jeremy, Jamie, and Rory. Thanks so much again for tuning in. And we're going to head to the video chat line where we're pleased to be joined by Nipawin Hawks defenseman Ronan Buckberger. Ronan, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate it. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. It's always a great day when we get to talk hockey, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us. First and foremost, this past week was an up and down busy week for the Nipawin Hawks, playing three games in three nights between the SJHL showcase and then, of course, the game in Melfort. But I guess just your overall thoughts of how your team played, picking up four out of a possible 6 points.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, team could have played a little sharper in the showcase games for sure. And, we feel that we didn't do as well as we could have, but would have liked to pull 4 points out of there. But good to get the win against Notre Dame, and then didn't play too well against Yorkton. But it's always nice to win that rivalry game on Friday night against Melfort. So,
yeah, that Notre Dame-Nipawin game was wild, Ronan. Wow.
Yeah.
What a crazy game that was. Really entertaining, though, for the neutral, but I wouldn't know anything about that. I got to ask you, Ronan, obviously, Big Brother Boston is really lighting it up at the University of Denver, and obviously, you know, you're a defenseman, he's a defenseman. You know, what has he kind of told you about preparing yourself right now, even at this level, you know, for that level and to be where he is?
yeah, I mean, obviously it's a big step up to junior, and then to the collegiate level is a whole nother realm. So he just, he's always given me tips and tricks and let me know how to prepare and always make myself better and ready for the next level. And him and my dad and Braxton as well have done a great job of me preparing for that. So.
Right. Yeah, thanks so much for joining us, Ronan. So what's it been like this year, you know, playing with your older brother Braxton on the same team? Of course, you come in the playoffs last year, you get a little taste, and then the full year this year. Have you played with him or Boston a lot, like maybe when you guys were really young, growing up through minor hockey, or did it not really happen and you're really relishing this opportunity?
Yeah, other than the time we spent on the backyard rink with each other, don't really get any chance to play with each other because we got the 3-year age gap. So, yeah, it was good, but obviously it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to play with your siblings. So just kind of cherishing the opportunity and trying to make the most of it.
Ronan, to piggyback a little bit off of what Rory just asked you, you know, you got that experience in the playoffs last year, but now coming obviously into your first full year of junior hockey, and, you know, it's been, what, 2 months into the season. How have you, I guess, found your game has adjusted to the junior A level?
I felt the transition's been pretty well for me. I mean, obviously playing the one regular season game last November and then stepping into the playoffs really helped me coming into this season, having a couple, 3 or 4 games under my belt. So felt confident to bring whatever I can to the table for the team, and feel like it's transitioned pretty well. So,
yeah, for sure. And I think we could all agree that it has gone pretty well for you. You know, but I think a lot of people looked at the Nipawin Hawks decor coming to this season and said, man, like 06, Ronan Buchberger, like coming straight in, he's going to get heavy minutes, lots of minutes against the other team's top D pairing. How is he going to do against that? And again, it seemed seamless from the outside. I know it's a lot of hard work that goes into it from your end. But just talk about, you know, facing the other team's 19, 20-year-old, WHL experienced guys, D1 experienced guys, yeah, night in, night out, without too much struggle.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, it's awesome. I love anytime I get the chance to. I really like the opportunity to play against the best players. I find I play better in a higher paced game and a higher paced setting. So whenever I get the chance to play against those top guys, I love it and I enjoy it and just always try and be the best. You got to beat the best to beat the best. So it's good to play against those guys and try and be the best I can.
Hey, so you saw popped up there on your name, it said commit to the Ohio State University. I want to ask you kind of about that. First of all, easy question, just the excitement, right? To get that commitment to such a prestigious school, right? NCAA Division I. And then if you can take us, you know, a little bit back and just kind of how the talks went and the just the trajectory to get to Ohio State, you know, how long did you consider it? Did you have, you know, other options that you were weighing, and just kind of, you know, the fun with making that call?
Yeah. Most of my recruitment process started after playoffs when, once I came home from those games in Nipawin. And so pretty well from April to, I think it was middle of August when I made my decision, I was in talks with teams and stuff. And in about, I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks before I ended up making my decision when Ohio reached out to me, and just loved it when I went down to visit there, and just love the coaches and all the stuff they bring to the table. So I found it a pretty easy decision once I had seen everything there.
Are you a big football fan at all? Because I mean, Ohio State, right? Like that's quite the program in football too. You got to catch some of those games.
Yeah, I love football, so should be cool to catch a game or two.
Yeah, there you go. I got a question coming along those lines in rapid fire, so keep thinking along those lines. I got to also ask you, like, I love, like, these Team Sask events, Canada Winter Games, WHL Cup. Just kind of completed the WHL Cup recently, I think, with the 08s. Obviously, you had the experience there with the 06s a couple of years ago. Terrific, terrific team. And obviously, I talked to Brett Pilkington all the time, and he coached you there at that event. Just talk about, you know, playing with guys who are, you know, NHL draft prospects now, and, you know, Cole Peard and Ashton Tate, like, list goes on from that team. Pretty good crew. How much fun was that a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it was awesome. It's a lot of great guys and great hockey players as well, and you just like to be on the ice with them, and you push each other every day you're out there, so find you make yourself better and make each other better just off practicing with each other, and then obviously playing against the teams like Team Alberta and Team BC with those loaded rosters they had, and there was tough games for our team, a couple of them, but it's good. I mean, you only learn from it and you become a better team and better players out of it. So
last question for me before Nugsy takes over rapid fire for your interview here, Ronan. Jeremy kind of asked a little bit about it in his question, but just going back to last year's playoffs, right? Being thrown into the fire like that, you had one game prior, you mentioned, but you know, playoffs, completely different animal against the second best team in the SJHL at the time. Just what was that experience like? You know, nerves, kind of, oh boy, this is like, you know, some intense hockey, and they weren't shadowing your minutes. You were playing some heavy, heavy minutes in those games that I saw.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I obviously just tried to live up to the experience of the game. And I mean, obviously playing that game in November helped me out a lot just to see what the league's like and dip my toes in the water a little bit. And playing those games against Humboldt, I mean, there's just the intense atmosphere. And I mean, it's a pretty intense game. I mean, it almost seems like a rivalry every game we play them this year just because of that series last year. And but playing those games was awesome. I mean, love the intensity. And every time there's chirping and hitting and all that stuff just makes the game even better. And felt like I did pretty well in that. And I just a little comfier stepping in after playing that one game. So yeah, definitely having a little bit of experience helped in the playoff atmosphere, but overall it went really well. So
for sure. All right. Well, time for rapid fire. Ronan, thank you so much for being so willing to come on. Should mention Ronan seemed like he was fired up to come on too. Braxton, I texted Braxton. I said, Braxton, you think Ronan would come on? He's like, yeah, for sure. Here's his number. And then and then I texted you and you're like, I'm fired up. Let's go. So appreciate that. Really, really helps us out a lot. So there you go. Thanks so much, Ronan. All right. The question that everybody, of course, is expecting. Dana Dirks, your assistant GM, told me he was all about it too. Buck Burgers, the Buck a Burger, maybe 2-for-1 Buck Burgers. Now that there's you and Braxton, we can wrap down that line as much as you want. But my question for you, Ronan, is what is on your version of the Buck a Burger?
Oh, that's a tough one. Probably just a cheeseburger and then some pickles and tomatoes, onions, ketchup, mustard. Just loaded up with anything, honestly. Some sauteed onions maybe on there.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. There's so much stuff. Maybe crack an egg.
I like that.
Peanut butter. Love that. Way to go, Brad. Yeah,
that's a good one.
That's a terrific answer, Ronan. There you go. It's got to be delicious. That's like the most important thing.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
All right. So Rory talked about it. Ohio State, obviously known for both football and basketball. Maybe just a smidge more than hockey, but that's cool. If the coaches of those two teams needed to call you in to play either basketball or football, which one of those two are you picking and what position are you playing?
Oh, definitely football. I mean, my vertical's not very good. I not too much touch on the basketball court. So I don't know. I mean, I always played a lot of baseball growing up and I think I had a pretty good arm. So I think I could step in at QB if they really needed me.
QB at the Ohio State, Ronan Buckberger. Someone with Photoshop skills, make a Buckberger Ohio State football jersey for us, please. That would be terrific. All right. You played for your dad in Bantam. Now you're playing with Braxton. What would your mom coach you in?
Good question.
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly,
cooking?
Well, that's a tough one.
Folding your laundry?
No, I'm actually a pretty good chef myself. I don't know if you guys would know that, but she has taught me a trick or two in the kitchen for sure. But yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. She's been pretty good on the golf course lately, so I mean, she can give me some tricks every once in a while. So
there you go. And obviously, Denver University's Boston Buckberger giving you some tips too, I'm sure. Last one then for rapid fire. We could go all day here, Onan, I can tell, but they told me I had a limit, which I know is unfair. But anyways, all of us broadcasting in the league, we had a big meeting when the announcement of the acquisition of Artem Hrabovetsky, is my guess, came in. How do you pronounce his name, and what do the boys call Artem Hrabovetsky, the Ukrainian forward, on Nipwin around the room?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I try to roll the R a little bit, so it's a little Artem Hrabovetsky, but
it's
a tough name to say for sure. I mean, he hasn't really corrected me too much, so I'm not sure, but pretty much just calling him Artie, that's pretty well it, because, I mean, can't really do too much with that tongue twister last name, so...
So when all the SJHL broadcasters need the proper pronunciation when they roll into the cage, rather than go to Clark Stork, they're going to come to you, Ronan, moving forward. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Ronan, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate it. Congratulations on your success and obviously continued success moving forward with the Nipawin Hawks this season.
Thank you very much, guys.
That is Nipawin Hawks defenseman Ronan Buchberger. A great chat, and we've had both Buchbergers now on. Of course, we had Braxton on last season on SJHL Weekly. And coming up after the break, we're going to go back to the video chat line. We're going to have our second guest, and that's Yorkton Terriers goaltender Ethan Farrell. Get his thoughts on the Yorkton Terriers, a bit of a turnaround for them, and of course, him joining the Terriers in the last couple of weeks. This is SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platform.
This episode of SJHL Weekly is presented by SGI. A reminder from our friends at SGI, go out, have a good time, but make sure those good times can happen again by always finding a safe ride home.
Welcome back to SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. Another busy and exciting show of SJHL Weekly. It's Jeremy, Noogzy, Rory. Thanks so much for joining us wherever you are tuning in today. But we are going to go back to the video chat line where we're pleased to be joined by Ethan Farrell, the goaltender for the Yorkton Terriers. Ethan, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate it. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great, having another great day of being able to talk SJHL hockey. And before we, you know, dive into, I guess, this past week for you with the Yorkton Terriers, I just want to ask, this has been a whirlwind couple of weeks for you, obviously, coming into the Terriers organizations after being with Danbury and coming up. How has the last couple of weeks been for you personally?
Yeah, obviously it's been a bit hectic, but I'm really enjoying my time in Yorkton so far.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, Ethan. It's been a whirlwind, I'm sure, but you have a unique perspective to kind of compare the league. So I'm kind of all ears to hear your perspective on, obviously, you spent last year in the MJHL playing with a guy we all know pretty well, Chase Hamm, obviously, was your goalie partner in OCN, the former Nipawin Hawks goaltender. So you have that MJHL experience, then you have the North American Hockey League experience with Danbury, now the SJ. How do you kind of compare those three leagues?
Yeah, obviously in the MJ last year with Hammer, I got to kind of learn from him in my rookie year, so that was really nice. But yeah, like the NHL is a great league too, but I think I'm having a great time in the SJ so far. I'm very impressed.
What was kind of the experience of coming into Yorkton? You know, we had said it in weeks past on this show, you know, they just can't seem to, you know, keep the puck out of their net right now. It's their only struggles. They got really talented players all over the ice, but their goals against is just, it's got to change. So was that message kind of said to you by the head coach, by the staff to come in? Hey, if you can take the reins and you know, have some good performances, this is going to be yours to roll with.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really think too far in the future. I kind of just wanted to focus one day at a time, one game at a time. And it's been going well so far.
I have to ask you, Ethan, just from a goaltender's perspective, how challenging is it, I guess, to come into a brand new league with shooters that you have, you know, not much familiarity with, and you come in and play your first five games, and how is that adjustment period for that perspective?
Yeah, it's definitely tough, kind of not knowing exactly what to expect, especially with different systems, but you just got to adopt it as fast as you can, really, and yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I also got to ask you, you know, obviously the game against Melfort here notwithstanding, a little win streak there for the Terriers starting with that game in Wilcox with Butts' overtime winner. What a wild one that was, too, it turned out to be. But I guess just went into this win streak. Talk about, you know, what's kind of been clicking for the Yorkton Terriers. As Rory said, you guys have all the talent in the world, returning guys, you know, Tyson Perkins, one of the premium defensemen in the league on the back end. What's kind of gone into this win streak here?
Yeah, I think we definitely scored some timely goals for sure. You know, the guys have been great in front of me, blocking lots of shots and really not making my job too hard. So that's really nice. Yeah, and I think we're we've been a great team so far since I've been here. So I'm looking forward to keeping that going.
You can tell the mojo of the Yorkton Terriers is rolling right now. Obviously, you come in, you play two games, and then you go right into the showcase, right? Not an easy situation. It's different times. So you got to kind of adjust to your pregame rituals. Obviously, there's scouts in the building. Just what was kind of your experience playing in the showcase and warming there?
Yeah, the showcase was amazing. You know, lots of eyes on the league, and really, I just tried to play my game and keep it as simple as possible, keep the game as simple as possible, and it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, last one for me before we hand the rapid fire back to Rory, I guess. But, you know, I always try to pay attention to where guys played before and what the connections are. And obviously, Caden Bandura and the Veldman brothers, I believe, they're in Sherwood Park, and terrific sushi place in Sherwood Park. I always love sumo in Sherwood Park is as good as it gets. I have not had too many better sushi places than sumo in Sherwood Park. I don't know if you're a sushi guy or not, but what did Bandura and Veldman, I guess, tell you about Yorkton? Because obviously they made a stop there too, if you reached out.
Yeah, I didn't talk too much to Bandura, but Veldman I'm really good friends with, and he kind of told me all about it, and I was really excited to, and he had nothing but good things to say, so that made it a lot easier for me coming in.
I got one more question, and I mean, I know you're really new to the Yorkton Terrier, so you haven't had a large sample size, but I talked about him earlier in the show, is Anthony McIntosh. You know, a really young defenseman, seems to kind of do it all, right? Good skater, offensive, he was blocking shots at the showcase. Just what have you seen from him and the rest of your D-core, guys like Tyson Perkins, Dalton Mays, so far coming in the 5-6 games that you've played?
Yeah, no, for Tosh, he's a really calm guy. He's really collected. He loves to talk a lot back there. All the D-men really talk, especially when I'm playing the puck, so that's really nice. It helps me out a lot.
All right, well, you are new to the league. You're new to SJHL Weekly, so I don't know if you've ever seen Rapid Fire, but I got about 6 questions. I'll hit them at you quick. You just come back with the first answer you got.
All right.
Have you seen your Elite Prospects page?
I have not.
Okay, well, the picture, I don't think it's you. It's a forward, so I was wondering if you know who is your picture in the Elite Prospects page, and do you want us to get that changed for you?
I would love it if you could, but so that guy actually is from Danbury and has the same last name as me, so they at the Knoll Showcase, they got that mixed up.
Mystery solved.
That makes a lot of sense.
We did it. We solved the mystery. We solved the mystery.
All right. If you could pick one, would you rather have a flashing the leather glove save or a cross crease pad stretch?
I got to go flashing the leather there.
Obviously new to the SJHA, right? So where was your favorite building in either the MJHL or in the Knoll when you're on the road for a post-game meal? What city had it really going good?
No, I got to go with the SJ Showcase. We had like a ham sandwich. It was ham and bacon. It was so good. So definitely one of the better meals I've had.
I got one more for you here. And again, I'm not sure how much time you've had to really dive into Clay Sliva, the captain of the Terriers, or Jamie Neugebauer, the co-host of this show. But if you had to pick one option, and if one of them scoring a goal, you lose. Either take 2 shots from Clay Sliva or 70 shots from Nugs.
I'll go Sliva with that. I kind of got it figured out. So,
oh my gosh!
I mean, 70
Nugs,
shots.
You're slipping one by him.
70 shots just sounds exhausting. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of rubber.
You might just get tired at some point.
Though. I'll get tired. Forget about this guy.
Yeah, that's true. Nugs, you'd probably get tired. Ethan, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate it. Congratulations on your great start with the Yorkton Terriers and continued success with the Terriers for the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that is Yorkton Terriers goaltender, Ethan Farrow. Of course, just joined the Terriers a couple of weeks ago, and obviously kind of sparked the turnaround for the Terriers. Of course, they won 4 straight games. Unfortunately, they lost to Melford over the weekend, but they've got themselves right back in that race in the Viterra division. All right, time to hand out some Players of the Week awards. And comparatively, I guess, to past weeks when we hand out these awards, probably the busiest week when it comes to teams and the amount of games they played because of the SJHL showcase. So there was a lot of really good performances before we dive into it. I just want to highlight, you know, we're giving away six awards, but there were a lot of good player performances this week. Let's start, Rory, with the SGEU MVP of the Week award going to David Coyle of the Melfort Mustangs. 3 goals, 6 assists, but most impressively, the 7-point game he put up Saturday against the Yorkton Terriers.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's going to touch that. Even the guys like Justin Lees, Carter Anderson, Kean Bell, Cage, like Newens, 7 points in one game. That is very impressive. I think he could have just had that one game and we still would have gave him MVP.
Probably.
I don't think anyone's going to top. I don't think anyone's going to top that. But Nugs, you talked about Coyle in the first segment. We mentioned Duguay. We mentioned Summers a lot. Aiden Hutchinson, James Venn. But, you know, there's guys on the Melfort Mustangs team that deserve a little more credit, and they're going to be key to try and get a little more consistency in the Melfort Mustangs throughout November, December, and before the Christmas break. But 7 points a game will sure help.
Sure will. Absolutely. So congratulations to David Coyle, the Melfort Mustangs SGEU MVP of the Week. Moving on to Borgo, forward of the week. He also had 9 points, found the back of the net. Noogsy 6 times, Justin Lees of the Flin Flon Bombers.
Yeah, just like David Coyle, one of the things that I think it was a hallmark of one of the top players in the SJHL is they're not just talented offensive guys. They play both sides of the puck so well. Obviously, Justin Lees was known more for a physical guy, penalty killer in the Western Hockey League with the Saskatoon Blades. But obviously, the points are flying in. He'll do it shorthanded too. He's as dangerous shorthanded as he is going forward. The Flin Flon Bombers had a lot of big offensive performances. Carter Anderson had 5 goals at the showcase by himself. So, you know, obviously they got guys all over the place. And Justin Lee's one of the many monsters up in Flin Flon.
Absolutely. 6 goals, 3 assists this past week for Justin Lees. He is the Borgo Forward of the Week. Moving on to Super U Defenseman of the Week. And that award stays with the Battleford's North Stars, but it will go to Alex Isaac. 2 goals, 4 assists, Rory. He has really stepped up his game, and he's improved a lot since the North Stars acquired him last season.
Yeah, and he's also a big physical guy back there, too, and he's great in his own zone. Tough to go in the corners against a guy like Alex Isaac. And then, yeah, he's part of that decor that Nugsy hinted at for the North Stars that are as important as guys like Kean Bell. He just had his 9-game point streak snapped the last game, but before that, yeah, 9-game point streak from a blue liner, pretty good. And Alex Isaac is physical in his own end, tough to play against there, and then can also jump in and play offense when counted on.
So congratulations to Alex Isaac, Super U Defenseman of the Week. Moving on, Direct West Rookie of the Week. Not his first time winning Direct West Rookie of the Week, Nugsy. You saw him Saturday and Sunday, but Keenan Ingram, 4 goals, 5 assists. He had a great week as well.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to Kindersley assistant general manager Ryan Gibson about Keenan, and he said he's got one of the best shots I've ever seen in a junior hockey player, and Ryan Gibson's seen a few. Man, he has an absolute missile. He scored all 4 of those goals, I believe, against Notre Dame this weekend, and scored a hat trick on the Friday night, and then another one yesterday, and on the Saturday, and then scored one on Sunday. But boy, oh boy, can he shoot a puck. Like, his release is wicked. He gave Johan Tremblay-Cow a hard time. And, you know, he finds spots, he picks spots. He had been in a tiny bit of a drought, actually, before coming into Notre Dame. But clearly the big ice suited him and his line mates with Hilbig and Linklater. And together those three are a real problem as a line. They're one of the best in the SJHL. There's no question about it.
And it seems like you mentioned Ingram being in a little bit of a slump. But with when Ingram's not producing, it's the other two and vice versa. And, of course, if you want to see an example of how hardest shot is, you can go to SJHL's YouTube channel and check out the highlights, because you're right. Oof. See, even just watching it through the video, you could tell how heavy of a shot Keenan Ingram has. Moving on, Rory, to Sastel, goalie of the week, and you saw him this weekend between the Humble Broncos and the Flin Flon Bombers, but Harmon Laser-Hume quietly having an outstanding season for the Flin Flon Bombers. Three wins this week, a goals against average just over one, and a .963 save percentage.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great, and the team in front of him plays great in front of him too. But you look at that save percentage and the shots that he faced against Humboldt, who at the time were the second highest team scoring in the league, 50 shots in game one and then another 35 in game two. And he only allowed three goals in both those games combined. So Harmon Laser-Hume is now first place in the league in goals against average. He's second place in the league in save percentage. He's second in wins. All the categories that count, he's right there. So whether you think it's a system or you think it's him, he's proving people wrong that said that he was a naysayer. And that's why Flin Flon acquired him. They thought a guy that was maybe expendable in a different organization. And he certainly looked like he shouldn't have been expendable. He's a good goalie.
Absolutely. And he's always seems to, we saw it in the SJHL playoffs last year. It always seems like he steps up his game when the, obviously, the more important the game becomes. So congratulations to Harmon Laser-Hume, Sastel goalie of the week. I do believe it's the second time winning the award this season. And finally, Noogsy, going back to a Kindersley Clipper for the Saskatchewan player of the week, and a player you kind of alluded to when we were talking about Keegan Ingram, but Logan Linklater, outstanding week, and you touched on that number one line for Kindersley. They are rolling.
Yeah, they're tough to beat. 9-game point streak for Logan Linklater as well, the captain of the Kindersley Clippers. And look, again, speaking to Get Ryan Gibson, speaking to Clayton Jardine, you know, they're thrilled that Logan doesn't feel like he has to do everything himself. He's proving to be a number one playmaker for sure in this league. And, you know, he's got in Tynan Hilvig and in Keenan Ingram two bona fide shooters beside him. He's winning a lot of faceoffs too, is Logan Linklater. He's such a menace, you know, in all ways, and such an incredible talent in this league. So much fun to watch. And, you know, not a big surprise. We're going to see a lot of Logan Linklater in the awards, I think, the rest of the year. Bit of a slowish start by his standards, but he is really starting to figure it out and light it up lately. And boy, oh boy, he's hard to stop when he's on. And I think if you were to ask him, he probably would say he wasn't as on as he usually is, even this week. Yeah, he was still player of the week, and that's the type of player that he is. He can produce even under those circumstances.
And he sparked the Kindersley Clippers in the third period against the Melville Millionaires to kick off this busy 5-game in 6 days stretch, scoring two goals in that comeback win for Kindersley over Melville. So congratulations to all six Player of the Week award winners. If you want to learn more about all six of them, head to sjhl.ca. The article is live right now. Of course, the new week in the SJHL will begin tomorrow. Just the one day off. We get one day of rest. But the new week in the SJHL begins tomorrow night, Tuesday night, with two games on the schedule. Nipawin will visit Melville, and the Weyburn Red Wings will play host to the Humble Broncos. And then on Wednesday, the Notre Dame Hounds and the Estevan Bruins play an afternoon contest, 12:30. Noogsy, don't forget to set an alarm. And the Balfour's North Stars will look for their 11th win in a row as they visit the Melfort Mustangs. So that's the next 2 days in the SJHL. But when we look at the next week as a whole, Rory, I'll start with you. I guess, what are you kind of keeping your eye on moving forward now that we're past the SJHL showcase and we're quickly moving near the end of November?
You know, it is the Melfort Mustangs for this week because of that inconsistency. Haven't strung together two wins since October 18th and 20th. They have games against Battleford's, Humboldt, and Humboldt coming up this weekend. Of course, that is family weekend over in Humboldt, which is a great one that the players and the fans look forward to. I think we have like 105 family members coming out for that weekend. So that'll be a lot of fun around there. But when you look at the Melfort Mustangs and where they are in the standings right now, because of their such good start, they still have a buffer over 5th to 8th. But if this inconsistency continues, that will not be there. And then you can, you know, you're in 4th right now, but 8th place is only 6 points back. So I'm watching the Melfort Mustangs.
Yeah, of course, there is right now in the SJHL standings a big log jam from 5 to 10. There's only separated by 5 points for sure. So a tough week by Melfort. They could be log jammed into that group as well. Noogsy, what about you?
I you know what? We heard Ronan Buckberger there talk about how he loves to get up for the big games and the sure. big moments. And I think that whole Nipawin Hawks team this year especially is kind of like that. Like, they are as good as anybody when the chips are down. And they got two against the Battleford's North Stars this weekend coming up. The way that Tad Kozin plays, the way Braden Klamosko plays, they're both fast counterattacking up the ice as quick as you possibly can. Those should be appointment viewing games. That should be a lot of fun at home and home Battleford's and Nipawin Friday night at the ACC and Saturday at the Cage. Again, two classic organizations too in the SJ. A lot of winning between those two over the last 10 years or so. And man, oh man, you know, again, just such fun styles of hockey that those two teams play. So just watching it just for pure enjoyment, really.
For sure. And I guess finally, for me, a bit of a more broader thing I'm keeping my eye on this week is just that Viterra division. The fact that all four teams are within 4 points yeah. right now. Melville has 22, Weyburn has 22, Estevan has 20. Yorkton now has gotten back into the mix thanks to their stretch. They have 18. Just 4 points separating the four teams in the Viterra. It's crazy.
Saturday night, we haven't talked about Highway 39 in a while, but Weyburn is in Estevan. And they don't like each other.
Wait, they don't?
Ring the bell. It's breaking news. It's going to be fun.
It will be fun. That's definitely a game to keep your eye on this week. Lots of great SJHL hockey this week across the board, starting, of course, tomorrow with two games on the schedule. And, of course, if you want to get out to your local rink, check out all the great action. But, of course, if you can't, you can catch all the games on Flow Hockey. Get your subscription today. But if you want to stay up to date with everything in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, be sure to follow us across all of our social media platforms, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's where you'll find highlights, our shows, features, you name it. And, of course, you can check out sjhl.ca for SAS Finest every Wednesday, released at noon. And before we go, we have to say a big thank you to all of our great sponsors here at the SJHL once again. Of course, this show and every one of our shows is presented by the good people at UPL. So thank you so much, UPL, for the great support for being the title sponsor for all of our shows. And a big thank you to Borgo, Canterra Seeds, Capital Auto Mall, Chevrolet, Great Western, Nutrien, RBC, Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association, SAS Lotteries, Tourism Saskatchewan, UPL, Sask Energy, SGU, SGI. Thank you so much for your support. Without your support, these shows would not be possible. Busy week across the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Get out to your local rinks to support the games. If not, catch them all on Flow Hockey. For Rory McGoran, for Jamie Neugenbauer, my name is Jeremy Corrigan, and this has been another great episode of SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms.